approval, but be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless and foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. And so we're concentrating on the part that it says, that we can correctly explain the word of truth. And that's what we're trying to do, is looking at some extremes in Christianity and bringing it back to the word of God and see what God's word says about these things. Because I believe that there are several extremes in Christianity that just got off. You know, it's based on something solid in the word of God and it got off. And a lot of people are discarding a whole part of the gospel, a whole part of the Bible because of some extreme. And they just say, well, we're not going to have anything to do anything with that because it's just weird. You know, there's just weird stuff going on and I don't want to be associated with that. And so, you know, we're just going to put that to the side and just leave it alone. But we're missing out on some amazing things that God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives because we don't want to be associated with something or there's an extreme. And it's sad that happens. And last week we talked about miracles. And we talked about that our God is still a miracle-working God, that He still wants to be involved in our lives, that He still is intervening in our lives today, and that He wants to bring health to our lives, He wants to bring healing to our lives, He wants to bring prosperity into our lives. But because there's been an extreme in that area, people shy away from it, and we're missing some of the blessings of God. You know, it says in Psalms, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Did you know there's benefits to serving God? But so many people back away from the benefits of God because either it's extreme, maybe they don't understand it, maybe they feel selfish because they're trying to receive something from God, and that's just not true. You know, God wants to bless, God wants to heal, God wants to bring good things into our lives. And so we need to believe in miracles. And the other two that we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, lots of times you say something like manifestations, and people are like, ooh. People start thinking of ghosts and spooks, and, you know, things are manifesting. And, you know, it was basically manifestation, actually, just it's an expression, it's a demonstration, or something being revealed. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the manifestations. How is the Holy Spirit revealed? And next week, everybody's favorite topic, we're going to talk about money. There's been a huge extreme in Christianity where it comes to money, and a lot of people are just they're like, a preacher says money, and they just start running. You know, they just get up and walk out, you know, and it's, but God has blessings where it comes to money, and you don't have to give $50 to a preacher to get the $1,000 blessing. You know, that stuff's weird. You know, and so next week we're going to talk about money and bring it all back to the Word of God and see what God says about these things. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit today. And there's two extremes when it comes to the Holy Spirit. There's one extreme that says that, you know, everything has passed away with the apostles, you know, and people just want to, you know, put aside all of that kind of stuff because, well, that was good for Jesus and the disciples, but when the disciples were gone, we got the Bible, and so we don't need all of that stuff anymore. And so they discard anything that has to do with the Holy Spirit, with manifestations, with gifts of the Spirit, anything like that. They just say, you know, it's all done. We don't need that anymore. And then there's this other extreme way over here, and it's everything's just about the Holy Spirit. You know, you go to a church service, and, you know, people are, you know, shouting and dancing and speaking in tongues and falling in the floor and throwing snakes at each other and all kinds of crazy stuff, and people are just like, that's weird, you know. But what we want to do is we want to bring all this back to the Word of God, because there is a lot of that is biblically based. And God wants to do something in our lives. But because there's some weird group out here that's, you know, handling snakes, the only way that I'm going to handle a snake is if something falls on me and I'm throwing it away. You know, I mean, that's the only time I'm going to touch a snake. All right, I don't even like to touch dead snakes. You know, so I mean, that's weird, you know. But I'm not going to discard what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life because of some strange stuff that happens. And, you know, and I've been around a lot of this in my life, and I've seen a lot of things that God does, a lot of things in our lives where it comes to some of these things, you know, as far as speaking in tongues and healings and miracles and things like that. And I've seen God truly work through these things. But then again, I've seen a lot of stuff that was not the Holy Spirit, that people called the Holy Spirit, and it just hurt people. And so let's get to the Word of God. Let's get to the truth about what the Holy Spirit is all about. And I just want to say from the beginning that I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I believe in that stuff because I can find it in the Word of God. And I can read, and it gives me instructions on how this is to be used. And a lot of it that we see in Christianity today is misused and abused. And so let's look into the Word of God, and I want to see God do something huge in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And see, one of the big problems when it comes to the Holy Spirit is that a lot of Christians have made the Holy Spirit about them. You know, it's all about, you know, I want to go to this service and I want to feel good. I want to get the goosebumps. You know, I want to, you know, get thrown in the floor and I want to get my blessing and I want to go home. But the problem is it never changes their lives. When they go to work Monday, they're still the same person. They might have had this God experience, but it never changed them. So what is the point? And a lot of what we see in the name of the Holy Spirit is selfishness. And sadly enough, in some of these extreme groups that, you know, they say stuff like, you know, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, then you're not even saved. That you're less than me. I'm better than you because I have this. And it becomes a hate thing. And nowhere in the Bible do I see anything about God and hate being one and the same. God is love. God wants to bless. There are times, yes, that He corrects us. There are times that the Holy Spirit has to convict us. But God is in the business of bringing life to us. John 10:10, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. And that's what we want. And we don't need to let extremes in Christianity keep us from that, from God's blessing. So, let's look at this. I want to answer three questions today. And I think first service, I created more questions than I answered. And that's okay. Because the whole purpose of this series is to get you into your Bible and reading and studying for yourself. Because one of the reasons we have extremes in the first place is because somebody heard somebody say something and they believed it, and it was wrong. And they believe it as if it's truth, and they never looked into the Word of God themselves to find out if it's true or not. And sadly, when that happens, people get hurt. And people turn their backs on Christianity, turn their backs on God because, well, that stuff just doesn't work. And it's that's not true. We need to understand God on His terms. Not because I said it, not because pastor said it, not because you heard some TV preacher say it, but if you hear someone say something, check it against the Word of God, because that is the truth. If it doesn't line up with that, don't believe it. Same thing with your experience. Lots of times we like to exalt our experience over God's Word. Lots of times something happens to us in life, and then we change what we believe about the Bible. And that's very sad because more than likely we just misunderstood what the Bible was talking about. And we begin to bend the Word of God around our experience instead of putting God's experience or God's Word first and viewing our life and our experiences through that. Because it's very dangerous when you exalt your experience above God's Word. Extremes begin to happen. So I want to answer three questions today. And hopefully from this that it will ignite something in you to go study and look deeper into it. Because I can't answer all the questions today. And there's parts of it that I really want to dive into, but we don't have time to. And so I'm just going to give you what God told me to say. And hopefully He does something in your life and you go look at the rest of it yourself. So I want to answer three questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? What was the Holy Spirit sent to do? And what does this mean for us? Okay? Who is the Holy Spirit? What was He sent to do? And what does this mean for us? And so first, let's look at exactly who the Holy Spirit is. And there's lots of, you know, discrepancies about who the Holy Spirit is. Some people want to say, well, the Holy Spirit's a wind, it's a thing, it's an it. But no, the Holy Spirit is actually part of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is who God is. And I understand that's hard to grasp. I don't understand it all, but, you know, when I get to heaven, maybe I'll understand it. You know, but that's what my Bible tells me, that God is three in one. You know, we see in creation, he begins to create man. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Now, who's God talking to here? He's talking amongst himself. Anybody ever talk amongst yourself? That doesn't mean God's crazy. I'm not saying that. But, you know, but if you look at it, you know, we are created three in one as well. We live in a body, we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we are a spirit. Our spirit is what comes alive when we get saved, and that is what connects with God. But you know, we still have problems with our soul and our body. Okay? And so we are three in one, God's three in one, we are made after His likeness and His image. And that's hard to understand. I get that, but that's not what I'm here to explain. All right? So, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. We see in Genesis 1:1-2, you know, from the very beginning, we see the Holy Spirit at work. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. We can look throughout Old Testament, and we see times where the Holy Spirit would come on somebody, like a king or a prophet, for a special work that he wanted to do, or maybe a special message that he wanted to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them to do a work. And so we see that through the Old Testament. We look into the New Testament, you know, and Jesus is getting baptized, and we see this, again, we kind of see the Trinity here. In Matthew 3, it says, after he was baptized, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settled on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. And we see the Holy Spirit at work right there too. And so we see the Holy Spirit at work all throughout the Bible. You know, we really don't see a lot about Him until the New Testament, until Jesus comes along. And that's what we're about to look at, what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. But, you know, we really just see kind of glimpses of Him throughout the Bible until Jesus comes along and until Jesus is about to send the Holy Spirit into the earth. And so let's look at what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, because there's something about when the words are read, there's power. You know, I believe all of the Word of God is power. I believe it's all, you know, God-breathed, but, you know, the words of red are the words of Jesus, and those are the words of God Himself. And so, you know, I put a lot of faith in those things. So let's look at John 14, 15. If you have your Bibles, let's turn there, John 14, 15. If not, I brought the family Bible, okay? We can all read it together. So, let's start in verse 15. He says, well, let me kind of backtrack. Before we talk about this, we actually read part of this scripture last week, and this is one of those great scenes where the disciples do something, and it makes me feel good about myself because I've done some of the same stuff. And, you know, they had Jesus right there with them, and they still ask these dumb questions. You know, they say there's no dumb questions, but, you know, I don't know. I've asked some dumb questions in my life. Just ask my wife. I've asked some dumb questions because I ask them more than once. Anyway, Philip, he asked Jesus, says, reveal the Father to us. Let us see the Father. And Jesus is like, Philip, have you not been listening? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father, we are one. We're one and the same. And I don't say anything outside of what I hear the Father say. And so if you know me, you know the Father as well because we are one. And he begins to go in and talking about, you know, I'm about to go away and, you know, the things that you've seen me do here on the earth, you're going to be able to do the same things and greater works you're going to be able to do. He says, you can ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And this is the next verse of scripture. He says, if you love me, obey my commands. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now, and later he will live in you. And so here we see a glimpse of who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus said he's going to send the advocate. Now, how many of y'all know what advocate means? You know, we kind of know, but what this actually means, it's a word that actually kind of means like a lawyer. It's someone who is called in to help somebody else. Someone who has expertise, someone who has knowledge to come in and help somebody who doesn't know. And other ways to say, he is our comforter. He is our guide. He is our encourager. He is our teacher. He is our helper. This means the one who is called in to help. That is who God sent for us. That he is our helper. He is our teacher. He is our guide in life. His purpose, one of his purposes here is to help us to live a life that glorifies God. And when you get saved, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. And at that point, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Now, more than likely, your Sunday school teacher told you that Jesus lives in your heart. That is not exactly correct. It's actually the Holy Spirit that is living on the inside of you. Jesus is up in heaven now. He's praying for us. He's interceding with us. He's right next to God, and he's praying for us, man. He's God, oh, he needs help, you know, help him. And he sent the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us at this point. Verse 25 says, I'm telling you these things now that while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything I have told you. He is here to teach. He's here to guide. He's here to help, to encourage. He is our helper when we need it. How many of y'all need help? Every hand should go up. We all need help. We all need help living for God. We all need to help. Need help bringing glory to him. And we can't do it without the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he comes when we become saved. He comes to live on the inside of us. And he's there to lead us and guide us. That's awesome, right? All right. So that's who the Holy Spirit is. Let's kind of look at what the Holy Spirit was sent to do. Because Jesus said that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, to us. Why did he send him? Well, of course, to be our helper. But, you know, if we look throughout the Scripture, you know, we see in the Old Testament, lots of times we see God revealing himself to Israel. You know, we see, you know, the Word working there and we see the Holy Spirit working in there. But mainly it's God revealing himself to Israel. Jesus comes along. What does he do? He said, I have come to show you the Father. I have come here to show you who God is. I'm here to live out in front of you, God. So now, Jesus goes up in heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit. What do you think the Holy Spirit's here to do? Is he here to bless us and to give us goosebumps and to help us dance a little bit? No. What do you think he's here to do? To reveal the Father and to reveal who Jesus Christ is. It's the same thing all the way through the Scripture. God wants to reveal himself to his people. God wants to reveal himself to the world. He wants to show his love to the world. And he's doing that through the Holy Spirit, who's in the earth now. And so let's look at this. John 16 is where we're going to go next. And we're going to kind of look and see why the Father sent the Holy Spirit. All right, John 16, verse 5. He says, now I'm going away to the one who sent me. Not one of you is asking me where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then He will send Him to you. And when He comes, this is what He's going to do. He's going to convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the upcoming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in Him. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And so part of what the Holy Spirit was sent to do was, number one, to convict the world of their sin. Which that included all of us at one time, right? Now, is the sin of the world murder, lust, taking the Lord's name in vain? Is that the world's sin? No. He said the world's sin is that they refuse to believe in me. Let me tell you something. The only thing that will send you to hell is rejecting Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that's going to send you to hell. Now, we still have to deal with sin in our lives after we get saved. We still have to confess our sin. But the only sin that will send you to hell is rejecting Jesus Christ. And so he's here to convict the world of sin. He's revealing the Father. He's revealing Jesus Christ to the world. He's here to tell us about righteousness, how we can live in right relationship with God. That's part of what the Holy Spirit's job is, to show us how to live for God. Because we don't know how to do it on our own. We have to have His help to understand. We have to have His help to understand God's Word. Because we can sit down and read God's Word all day long and we won't understand until the Holy Spirit teaches us what it means. He is our teacher. He is our guide. And He's also here to warn a future judgment. He's here to warn a future judgment because He says that the enemy has already been judged. And if you're following Him, you're going to be judged as well. So He's here to convict the world, to reveal the Father, to convict the world of its sin. He's showing us how to live for Him. And He tells us the consequences if we don't follow Him, is that we spend eternity in hell. That's part of what the Holy Spirit is here to do. That is part of His purpose for being here. That's why He was sent. Now, have we seen anything that talks about falling on the floor and throwing snakes, anything like that yet? No, we haven't yet. But we're about to talk about an aspect of the Holy Spirit that begins to weird people out. We're going to begin to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, whether it be tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles, special faith, prophecy. A lot of these things, when you start talking about them, people are like, whoa, hang on. I like the Holy Spirit and all. He's my guide. He's my helper. But that's all that I want. And we've seen an extreme in this area that has turned people off and it's hurt people. But what God wants to do is He wants to use this next thing that we're going to talk about to bring blessing to your life. He wants to bring it into your life so that you can be better minister of the gospel. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit in its fullness so that you can do what God has called you to do, because He's put a dream in your heart. Some of you have forgotten the dream that God has put in your heart, but let me tell you, He's put a dream in your heart that on your own that you cannot fulfill. You look at it and it scares you because it's too big for you. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit so that it's not us doing it on our own, but it's backed by the power of God. And so many people will not fulfill their purpose in life because they're scared of the Holy Spirit. The very power that's going to give them the strength to do what God's called them to do. And so let's look into the book of Acts. And we're going to look at this. We're going to look at it from the Bible. Not by what someone has told us, not by some whatever. Let's look at what the Bible says about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1. We're going to start in verse 4. Now, this is after Jesus has died on the cross. He rose again. He's been hanging out with the disciples for 50 days now. All right? Well, probably not up to this point, but He was here for 50 days from the resurrection until He was ascended into heaven. And this is one of the last things that Jesus told His disciples. Now, when I go, hopefully I have the mind enough to gather the people closest to me around and give them words of wisdom. Give them kind of the last instructions. You know, this is what's truly important in your life. If you do anything, I want you to keep this in mind. I want you to do this right here. And I believe that this is what Jesus was doing here at this point. He says, once again, he was eating with them, and he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John was baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's where that phrase comes from, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles, were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore our kingdom? Again, they're asking the wrong questions. Their focus is in the wrong spot. God's wanting to do something in their life, and they're saying, are you going to free us? Are you going to make us free again? Are you going to kill off all of our enemies? He said, no. I want to do something through you that's going to change the world. He said, the Father alone has authority to set the times and the dates, and that's not for you to know. He says, but this is what I want you to know. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. This is the very last thing that Jesus told his disciples. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is going to do through them. The purpose of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to happen after he leaves. That he said that you will receive power. There it is. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. See, the other part of what the Holy Spirit was sent to do, he is sent to empower us to spread the gospel. That is one of the reasons that he gave us the Holy Spirit, is so that we will have the boldness, we will have the strength to be able to stand up and tell someone about Jesus Christ and see their lives change. How many of you tried to witness, like you felt God was calling you to witness to somebody, to speak into someone's life, and you were just too scared to do it? Anybody else besides me ever done that? We've all done that. God's like, you know, just go tell them I love them. You know, go tell them this. You know, just tell them what I've done in your life. And you're just like, oh, I don't know about that. See, that's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit was sent, so that we will have his power. So that when he asks us to do something, the power of God rises up on the inside of us, and we're able to step out in faith and speak God's truth. And when we speak God's truth, lives will change. That is the reason that he has given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost, however you want to say it. That is the reason that we have that. Unfortunately, a lot of the church has turned that into something that becomes a bless me club, so I can, you know, get my happy juice on and feel good about life, and then I go home. But it never changes their life, and it never changes anybody else's life. And you're wasting what God is trying to do. See, God does want to bless us. God does want to bring good things in your life. I believe that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is something there that helps to encourage you and to build you up. But if that's all it does, you're wasting it. Because there's so much more that God wants to do in you and through you. But because we have wrong teaching, we've heard wrong things, we shy away from that stuff. We're empowered to be witnesses. See, he was sent to be our helper, to be our guide, to be our teacher. He was sent to convict the world of their sin, to show us how to live for God, to warn of future judgment, and to empower us to do the same thing that Jesus did when he was here on the earth. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, you're going to do the same things that you've seen me done, and greater things you'll do, because I'm going to the Father, and I'm sending you the Holy Spirit so that you can change lives. So that you can pray for the sick and they're going to recover. So that you can cast out demons. So that you can make a difference in people's lives. And it's not about you, but it's all about bringing glory to God. How much of what we see about the Holy Spirit today actually brings glory to God? We got to bring it back to the Word of God. We got to bring it back to the truth of what God is saying and what He is wanting to do, because God is wanting to do something big. This world needs the supernatural. They're looking for it everywhere. Just turn on TV and you see shows about chasing ghosts and looking for all these different things. They're looking for the supernatural. When the supernatural is right here in the Word of God, it's right here with God, it's right here with the Holy Spirit, and He wants to work through you. He wants to work the supernatural through you. But you have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit work in your life. We don't have to be scared. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable at the beginning. But as you step out and you work in God's power and see lives change and you see things happen, you begin to get built up. You begin to get excited. That dream that you let die on the inside of you begins to stir again. That passion that He's placed on the inside of you begins to stir again. And you get this holy confidence saying, I can do this. I can do what God's called me to do because I know that God is backing me. It's not me doing it, but it's the power of God doing it through me. That's the only reason I can stand up here today in front of you. It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I can't do this. This is not me. If you knew me growing up, this is not me. I did not talk to people. I went into a room, I hid in the corner. I did not interact. I did not ask questions. That was not me. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me that causes me to be able to stand up and share His Word. Amen. And see, He wants to do the same thing in you. He wants to give you that same passion, that same boldness, that same excitement, so that when you see that person hurting at work, when you're driving down the road and God says, stop and help that person, the Holy Spirit begins to rise in you and begins to do something in you, and then you're like, yeah, let's do it. I don't have to be scared that they're going to mug me or something, because this is what God wants me to do, and He's going to protect me, and so I'm going to do it in Jesus' name for His glory. So what does all this mean to us? We see who the Holy Spirit is. We see what He was sent to do. What does this mean for us? I've kind of already talked about some of it, but that's okay. But see, God wants to use us to reveal Jesus Christ. He wants to use us to reveal the Father to the world. The world is hurting for the gospel message. But unfortunately, because of some extremes, that people have been turned off to the gospel, because of the hate in some Christians, that they've been turned off to the gospel, because of some of the strange stuff they've seen, they're turned off to the gospel. But when they encounter the true Jesus Christ, when they encounter the true God, they see that it's real and that God is worth serving. And that's where we come in. That is what we are here for. See, when we got saved, He could have just immediately raptured us up into heaven because we've made it. We've made the decision. God, the Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you. We're going to heaven and it's just time to go. But no, He left us here for a reason. He left us here for a purpose. Are you willing to let God use you for His purposes? But see, we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him in His fullness. We can look in John 20 real quick. Because I truly believe with all my heart that when someone gets saved, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of them. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit moves in and He lives on the inside of them. But I believe with all my heart that there is another experience that we can have with the Holy Spirit that brings us the power. Just like we see right here in the Scripture. John 20:22, this is after Jesus died and rose again and all that stuff. Jesus was with His disciples, and it said that He breathed on them, and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. But He said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lived on the inside of them at that point. This is the first time ever that the Holy Spirit actually lived in somebody besides Jesus. Because all the other times we read that the Holy Spirit came upon them for a purpose, for a reason, and then He was lifted. and went away. This is the first time we see that anybody had the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. But notice it was the same people that were there in Acts chapter 2. And that they received the Holy Spirit. Well, they already received the Holy Spirit once, so what's this other thing? I truly believe with all my heart that these are two different experiences. That there's two different things here that has happened, and it's for two different reasons and two different purposes. Because when we get saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. But God wants us all to have that Acts 2 moment to where, I don't even think I read it, did I? Let's read that real quick. Acts 2, 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability. At the same time, there was a devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. Can you imagine this? I mean, this was like a hurricane. This wasn't just like a little breeze that came into the room and it was all. But this was like a hurricane that came through, that it happened in this one room, but everyone around them heard it. And they're like, what in the world was that? And they went running to see what was happening. And so this wasn't just some little thing that happened, but everybody came running. When they heard the loud noise, they came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Now let's go to verse 11. It says, when they all heard the people speaking in their own languages about the wonderful things God has done. Notice what they were talking about. They were revealing the Father in what they were doing. So they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They were asking each other, and others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, oh, they're just drunk. That's all, they're just drunk. Don't mind them. But there's this moment when the Holy Spirit was poured out and they begin to speak in tongues. And we can see throughout the book of Acts the same thing happening, to where the Holy Spirit came and filled them and they begin to speak in tongues. It's something that's different, but it's something that is God. And it's something that we don't have to be scared to dive into and to see what God wants to do in these things. But listen to what happened in verse 40. Well, Peter stood up, and when all this happened, and they were saying, you know, what's going on? What's going on? Peter stood up and began to preach. And it said, then Peter continued to preach for a long time, strongly urging all of the listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Can we see what the Holy Spirit is here for? He is not here for us to feel good about ourselves, to get our goosebumps and get our whatever. But He's here to change lives. And He wants to use you and me to do it. But there's something that happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, that it empowers us to minister in ways that we cannot minister on our own. And I just want to say this, and let me preface this by saying this is my opinion, okay? This is not the official view of the church. It's not the official view. You know, this is my opinion. And I believe this because of what I read in the Word of God. But I believe that, you know, when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, the Helper. He's there to guide us. But when we stand to minister like that, we minister in our own power. And that we can only do what we have the power to do. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we have this Acts 2 moment in our lives where we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we can begin to stand up and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that He adds His power to what we're doing, and that pushes us way beyond anything that we could ever do. And see, this is what He's wanting to do through us, is that He's wanting to use us for His glory. And there's an experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will change your life. It will empower you, and it will do so many amazing things in your life. But it's all for His glory, and it's all to change other people's lives. And we don't need to be scared of it. And I wish I could dive into this thing and go into the details of the spiritual gifts and all this stuff, but we don't have time. But what I want you to do, I want to encourage you to look in your Bible and see what it says about it. I'll even tell you where to look. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth about this exact thing. And he's telling them about special gifts that he gives people. And it says, and it says this in here, it says, he's given gifts to all of us so that we can help each other. It's not for you. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is not for you. It's for others, for you to minister to other people. Yes, you will benefit from it. Yes, you will be empowered. You will be encouraged. It'll take your Christianity, your life, to a whole other level. But ultimately, it's for other people. But I love it because he talks about, in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the spiritual gifts and how, you know, it's the same God that gives all of them, but they're all here to work together, all to encourage each other. And then it seems like he switches gears in 1 Corinthians 13 because that's the love chapter, right? And then in 1 Corinthians 14, he goes back and talks about, you know, how all this plays out in a church service, you know. How is this supposed to look? You know, what is it about speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy? And he talks, Paul even says, you know, I wish that everyone would be able to speak in tongues. And I pray in tongues more than anybody else. So, but in a church service, I'd rather say 5 intelligible words than 1,000 in tongues so that whoever's listening to me will benefit. But he encourages, he says, I want everybody to have this experience because it'll change your life. It'll absolutely change your life. But so we see this, 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about spiritual gifts. 14, he's talking about, you know, the spiritual gifts, you know, how it plays out in our lives. And 13, he talks about love. And you're like, spiritual gifts, love, it all goes hand in hand because he says this at the very beginning. He says, you can have all the spiritual gifts working in your life. You can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can do all this. But if you don't have love, it's just noise. It's worthless, it's pointless. And so it all comes back to love. Because God has placed his love in our hearts and he's placed love for the world in our hearts. And he sandwiched the spiritual gifts and he says, "This, I want you to do all this, but you got to do it in love." And there's people that I know that I've interacted with that are filled with the Holy Spirit and ministering, but they're so full of hate. And they're just, everything you say, they find something wrong with it. There was one day I was posting some quotes on Facebook, and this guy kept coming back at me. Well, as he said, that's that C.S. Lucifer guy, and just down in everything I was saying. I finally said, dude, leave me alone. He's like, I'm not bothering you, all right? Leave me alone. You know, and it was just like, don't you get it? You're hating, and you're turning people off to Jesus Christ. You're doing the exact opposite of what you're supposed to be doing with your hate. You might have all the spiritual gifts, but you don't have love. You're just making noise. It's not going to amount to anything. And so in all of this, we got to know that we have to live out the love of Jesus Christ. And last thing, there's two responses to a true move of the Holy Spirit. And anytime there is a true and honest move of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life or in a church service or something like that, there's always two responses. And we read these, and it happened in Acts chapter 2. And this was the response when they heard them speaking in tongues. And it says it like this. In verse 11, it's back over here. He said, all these people heard them speaking in their own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. The first response to it is being amazed and perplexed. Basically, it's, man, that just blew my mind. What in the world just happened here? I mean, they were just like, whoa. And they didn't understand it. And it was just like, what's going on here? I've got to find out more. What can this mean? The first response is to, it's almost like a shock and awe kind of deal. Just like, whoa, what was that? I need to find out more. And so they begin to search and ask questions about what happened, about the Holy Spirit. And the second response to it, we see here, he says, but the others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. See, the other response to a true move of the Holy Spirit is people to mock and make fun. And so we don't need to be discouraged because of the mockers the people who are going to make fun. Because you will always have mockers. No matter what you do in life, no matter what we do in this church, no matter what goes on, there will always be a mocker. There will always be someone trying to come against what you're trying to do. And they're not attacking you when you're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the enemy attacking the work of God, trying to stop something. And so we don't need to allow the enemy to stop us because of the mockers and those who are making fun. We got to know what the truth is. We need to get into the Word of God. Find out what the truth is. Live by that. Jesus said, they're going to hate you because they hated me first. Be prepared. They're going to make fun. They're going to laugh. But you know what? Stay strong. Stay strong. Keep going the course that you know you need to be going. And as we stay the course, lives will be changed. God's going to bless you. God's going to do some amazing things in your life. God's going to fulfill that dream that He put in your heart. I don't know why that keeps coming up in my spirit, but it's God has put a dream in someone's heart that you've given up on. Let God rekindle that in your heart. God wants to do something huge in you. And this can apply to everybody. God wants to do something huge in you, something that's way beyond you. Let God do it. Let that dream live again. There's a dream that God's placed in my heart that excites me, and it scares me to death because it's going to require sacrifice on my part. It's going to require me to be stretched, and I know I can't do it, but I know that I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me that's going to enable me, to empower me to do what He's called me to do. He's going to fulfill that dream in my life, and it's going to be all to His glory because I can't do it. See, God has a dream for you. Let that dream live. Let that dream live. Let the Holy Spirit stir that up on the inside of you. Get into the Word of God. Begin to strengthen yourself on His Word. Get in here and read in 1 Corinthians about what the Holy Spirit is here for us to do and how He wants to work in us. Don't let fear stop you from receiving from God the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's pray. God, thank you. God, thank you that you have sent the advocate. You have sent the helper, the Holy Spirit, into our lives. God, we thank you that we received Him at the new birth. When we got saved, God, we received the Holy Spirit, God. And thank you for that. God, but you've placed dreams in us, God. You've placed passions in us, God. You've put things in our hearts, God, that you want us to accomplish, God, and we can't do it on our own. God, let us be open to your word. God, let us be open to what you want to do. God, let us be open to the Holy Spirit. God, teach us. God, show us in your word. Help us to understand what this is all about. God, and just thank you as we give in to you. God, as we go full force and you take those steps of faith, God, that you will amaze and perplex us. God, that you will blow our minds, God, with the things that you will do. God, and that you'll continue to stir that dream, stir that passion on the inside of us. God, I just thank you as we walk out of these doors. We know the enemy will attack this word, God, and just thank you that we hold tight. God, we don't allow the mockers, the people to make fun of us, any thoughts that come against this, we won't allow that to take it away from us. God, but we want to fulfill your purpose in our life. And that's what it's all about, bringing glory to you. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.